I want to talk about a subject that probably we haven't really touched on in a service, I don't think, ever. In light of all the activities that I've been involved in the last... I'm just going to move this back a little bit. I'm really too close to the camera here. You're seeing all my pimples and everything, all my wrinkles. You're going to have to put a little filter on that digital camera. All right, let's go and look to our scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:57. And as I mentioned, in light of what's been happening in my life as a minister and as a pastor, you know, I go through many emotions just like everybody else. And you have to debrief, you have to give God praise, you have to look at things in perspective. And so our subject today is victory over death. And there's a very big silence. Victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Chapter 15 deals with the subject of death and dying and our victory. And Paul writes over here in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how we view death is extremely important for us believers today, for our victory right now. Because death can come over someone, the spirit of, depression and oppression and suppression and so on, and come over someone when someone dies, and they stay in that state for a long, long time. And God doesn't want you to stay in that state. There is victory. Although sometimes talking about death might be very uncomfortable, nobody wants to think about their own mortality in terms of how long they'll live and how comfortable they'll live. But we will all eventually die one day. Everybody in here, we're all going to die one day. We'll be at each other's funerals, perhaps. And how long you live on in this world depends on how well you, what you do here on this world. Because the Bible tells us we can lengthen our days or shorten our days. Very clear in the scripture. You know, when the doctor says, you know, you better stop smoking and you know, because it affects your life. And he's talking about that right there. He's talking about particularly your life and how comfortable you'll be and how long you might live. You can take things out of your life that are not good and lengthen your life and so forth. There are people dying every single day, every minute, all over the world. And some say someone dies every minute or loses their lives and goes out into eternity. So I want to address death in light of Scripture and what God says about dying and death. This will shed great light on this enormous subject and give us victory. Victory over fear. Victory over defeat. So let's go ahead and pray one more time. Father, I want to thank you for illumination. I want to thank you for revelation in the hearts of people. I want to thank you for victory over every person in their lives, over the fear of death or fear of their own dying or fear of their loved ones dying. So I want to thank you in the name of Jesus that we can have victory right now in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, you know, Dr. Higgin was, of course, our president of our school. His favorite scripture was this. One of his favorite scriptures was this. He would quote this scripture. He would say, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He quoted that a lot. This scripture is taken, you know, in light of death. This scripture needs to look at it. We need to look at it in context. It tells us that we have been given the victory over death. And I want to show you why, you know, address it in this way in the light of what we know, the scripture. Jesus said, in light of dying, he said that, looking back at what he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming." That means that someday, some people, when Jesus comes, there'll be people who will be here that will never taste death physically. That, you know, if Jesus came today, we won't die. We'll just go out into eternity. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody, that's what everybody wants. But, you know, we don't want to die. And, you know, we need to understand this. Like, some people talk about it, you know, we don't have to die suffering it out. You can just fall asleep and die. Bible tells us about that in the scripture, that people said, you know, here's Jesus, I'm gone, and they're gone. That's the way it is, even in some people's lives. They live for God, and they just you know, just went out. The Spirit went home to be with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said this, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and this is what Jesus said, and like what Jesus said. In 4:17, he says, "Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall ever be with the Lord." And that's what he's talking about, you know, in what they call the rapture. There's no scripture called the rapture, but the word rapture is the word caught up. So if Jesus came, he'd be caught up into glory. He'd be caught up into meeting Jesus and all the people that died before you. When Jesus comes, he's going to bring everybody that died in Christ. Everybody who believed in Jesus, your parents, your grandparents, they're all going to be there. Amen. Some people will continue to die, as the scripture indicates, even today, physically. It says there in Ecclesiastes 3:2, there's a time to be born, time to die. You know, there's people being born every day. I forget what the actual numbers. There seem to be more people that are being born than people dying. There's people being born every moment, every second, and there's people dying regularly. And you know, when he says a time to be born, some people think, well, God has my number, and he's actually marked the day, the time he's going to kill you, or allow you to die. No. There's no, you know, the Bible says that we have a choice. We have something to do with how long we live. I said, we have a choice. We have something to do with how long we live. How you take care of your vessel, your body. You got to take it for a walk, clean it once in a while, shave it or comb it or do something with it. You've had to treat it nice, pat it a little bit. Some people pat it too much and give it too much ice cream. Hebrews 9:27 says this, as each person is destined to die once, after that comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, some people take the scripture out of context and say, see, I told you God has appointed one time for you to die. Well, yeah, well, he's just saying in the scripture that one day we will all die, one time. He didn't say God made a day and then you'll die at this time, and if, you know, no matter who prays for you, you're going to die anyway. He's saying that all of us is going to die one day, and all of us is going to face judgment. We'll sit before God and give account of what we've done with our careers or our lives. God's going to ask you, what did you do with what I've given you, the gift I've given you? How did you serve me in my church, in the ministry? What did you do with the gift? And so we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account to that. I mean, we won't be at the great white throne judgment. That's for people who rejected Jesus. You won't be there. But you'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, which is a different thing. We'll all give account of our lives to God. So you need to give an account to one another and give account to the people that God's put in your life. You will anyway one day. You know what? It might not seem like victory now when we see death all around us. The psalmist said, there's death all around us in this present world when he wrote Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a reference to, you know, us and our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Psalm 23 is what we're living today right now. The Lord is my shepherd. If he's your shepherd, then you can claim these scriptures and understand that this is talking about you. Over here in verse 4, he says, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? The shadow valley of the shadow of death is this world we're living in where death is everywhere. Over the last year, I would say that the number of deaths that I've gone to is because of addictions or a suicide and those kinds of things. But, even in death, we have the victory. I'm going to show you scriptures over here. He says, do I walk through the valley of death? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Is God with you? He is. He says, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. He's talking about the Spirit of God, the Word of the Spirit. God is with us. His Word will give you that comfort in tough times. Although there may be death or dying everywhere, we can take comfort in God's Word. God will keep us from the time you're born until you take your last breath. God's going to be there all the way through your life. The scripture says, in Psalm 48:14, for he that is what God is, this is what God's like, he's our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we die. God promised us to be with us and to guide us all our lives, particularly if we would hear from God, if we would listen to God and take instructions from God. Some people don't pay attention to God. They don't give God any time, maybe the last seconds until they fell asleep. They'll talk to God for a few minutes and they'll go to bed. They don't ever read his scripture. They don't talk to him throughout the day. They'll just say, good morning, God, in the morning, and that's it, and run off and whatever. But we need to talk to God more often. He lives in us. He talks with us. So we have victory over death even right now, even though it might not seem like it. It seems like the death has an upper hand in our lives. There is life after death, people. There is life even after we die. The believer, when the believer dies, he does not cease to exist, but he shifts into another realm. He goes to another life. In the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians is all about death that has no victory over us any longer because of what Jesus did. Jesus himself declared in John 11, 25 and 26, when he was talking to Mary and Martha, particularly Martha, because, he had a conversation with Jesus when his brother died, and they were having such a hard time. And he said, Jesus, if you would have come, my brother would have lived. But now he's dead. Jesus talked to this woman. He said, Jesus said to her, this Martha, I am the resurrection and life, verse 25. And the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? That's what he's saying. Do you believe this? That's what you have to understand. Is he, when he told Martha, do you believe this? He's asking you, do you believe this today? Say, when you die, You don't cease to exist anymore. You go to another realm. It was just far better. I mean, it's hard for you to understand. If you're walking in this life and you have no information, you're just walking, you're so afraid of death, you can't even live right. We have to overcome this because God wants us to overcome. He doesn't want you to be so crippled you can't live and enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy life. There's people here that are afraid their husband's going to die, their children's going to die, or they're going to die. And so they constantly have this fear. And God doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to be free. You need to be ready right now. I mean, You know, we don't want to go now. And somebody said, I haven't finished college yet. Somebody said, I want to get married and have sex with somebody. I remember when I was a kid, we used to hear that, you know, somebody, those old people, they always preach about that dying and, you know, and Jesus is coming and now any day should be any second now. I'm saying, wait a minute, man, I haven't even finished college yet. I want to get a wife and have sex and have babies and stuff. Nobody's laughing because you know that's what you're thinking about. A lot of people want to enjoy life. Amen? You want to enjoy life. And sex is good. And put it in the right perspective. Yeah, some, you know. Jesus himself declared, he declared that. He says that if you believe in Jesus, when you die, physically, you know, the scripture talks about the three kinds of death that we should be concerned about. First of all, is spiritual death. It happened in the Garden of Eden. When man was severed, his spirit was severed from God, was estranged from God. That's why, you know, man. Every person died. In Genesis 2:17, the Bible says, Adam, first Adam, he died. Jesus is called a second Adam. He got the victory for us. So everybody died in 2:17. There, the scripture says that Adam died, and in you know, Romans chapter 5, it describes in there that Adam sinned and it passed on to every man. But when Jesus came, he got life for us and he passed life to all of us. All of us have life because of Jesus. We died in him. That's why the scripture says Jesus came around. He said, you have to be born again. Because your spirit is dead, estranged from God. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he puts your spirit back into the body. Connects you with God again. Now you're in God. Come on, we got to get excited about that. You're in Christ right now. You're in Christ right now. If you died, you know, people who've died, who told me they died, they couldn't tell the difference whether they're in the body or out of the body. They couldn't tell. If you died right now, you couldn't tell whether you're out of the body or in your body. I mean, Paul gives us this light in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. He says, you know, I knew a man in Christ. He's talking about himself one time. He said, I knew a man in Christ. You know, whether in the body or out of the body, couldn't tell. Went up to the third heaven. That's in heaven where God is. I was listening to Keith Moore. He said when Keith Moore is one of our teachers from school, you know, he was grieving so many years for so long about his dad dying in his jet plane or his plane. He convinced his dad to come to ride with him in his plane, and his dad died in his plane while he's out there, had a heart attack. And he felt so bad about his dad dying in his you know, he convinced him. He said, you're not going to die. Come on, we're going to crash. And he dies up there. And so he's grieving all those years. And, you know, one day he said, I would not understand this, but all of a sudden I'm in heaven. And I saw my dad. I saw my dad. And he wasn't 65 or 70 years old anymore. He looked like he's 30 years old. Hallelujah. He's got no wrinkles. He's beautiful. He looks like a young man. I knew it was my dad. He said, I'm talking to him. His dad told him, son, don't be sad about it. Just be happy about things the way they are. He said, if I had a choice, I wouldn't go back anyway. When my mother died, my mom died, she told me personally, she said, I went up to heaven. He said, you know, you don't want to come back. When you're on the other side, you don't want to come back here. Come on, people. This world is so tainted. He said, I didn't want to come back. When I was at Raymond Bible School, I would go to healing classes. And sometimes we hear testimonies of people who physically died. And they come out of their body in their operating room. They came out of their body and they went up and saw heaven and saw the wonderful singing of the people in heaven. And then they said, I saw myself leaving my body over there. And I looked at the people working on me. He said, I went up and I came back to my body. He said, I didn't want to come back in my body. My mom says to me, when she was in the hospital dying, she was racked up with pain, and she died, came out of her body, went up into another realm of the heaven. And she said, I come in my body. I just said, oh, man, I was so disappointed. I came back to my body. The Lord said, you got to go back. Those are not fairy tales. This is real stuff. So when someone dies, that's not the end of them. When someone physically dies, they don't cease to exist. They're just in another place for now. And you're going to go and see them one day. And you will see them again one day. There's about 6 people happy about that right now. Y'all got to... You need some revelation about that. Praise God. Amen? I mean, no, I told, okay, I understand this. Like I said, I've never taught this before in this church. I'm not facing it all the time. I go to funerals regularly. I have to face it. If I'm facing it, I'm going to get you to face it too. I mean, regularly. I mean, while you guys are at school doing something, I'm at a funeral home and I'm at somebody's bedside. They're dying. I'm going to go visit somebody sometime. Some other friend says, go visit somebody. When I get there, they're gone. You know, so regularly. Like, I have to debrief sometime myself and tell my wife different things, you know, before. But, I mean, at first, you know, it's really scary because you're facing something and you have to dig into the Bible to get your relief. And you're not afraid anymore. And death is not that scary anymore. After you get the scriptures in you, you're not afraid anymore like you used to. You get free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have victory. That's what he's talking about. 1 Corinthians 15:57. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you die, you still have victory. Whether you live or die, you still have victory. Well, on the other hand, God heals hearts. He'll heal your heart. So, we need to understand God gives us counsel in His Word. And yeah, we go for counseling and different things like that. But God's real counsel is really the answer for our dilemma. So in salvation, we've gained victory over death. Spiritual and physical death cannot have lord over us. We cannot lord over us. As we said, it seems like, you know, there's no victory right now. Paul explains that Jesus died and rose from the dead in 1 Corinthians 15:57 or 15:1-8. And so he gives, his explanation there. In verse 14 to 12 to 14, he said, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. If he didn't rise from the dead, there's no salvation, and everyone else's preaching that you heard is in vain. In verse 14, he said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. You're believing something for no reason. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, that's the whole crux of it, is that if Jesus didn't rise, there's no point in what we're doing. There's no point in church. In verse 17, he said, if Christ not been raised, he mentioned this again, your faith is in vain and you're still in your sins. But in verse 20, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's talking about this, that Jesus is the first one to die and to be raised from the dead. He's the first one. And everybody who believes in him will have the same result as he had. And all of us who are here on this side, we have victory because Jesus has got the victory for us. We can have victory over the enemy. And we can pray and stay here as long as we want to. Amen. We can. You know, when I was a kid, no one taught us about this. I grew up in a Catholic church, and everything about death was a mystery. And we just hoped and prayed that, you know, maybe, I don't know where they went. We didn't know anything about dying. We just knew that they died and this went out, and we talked about this place called purgatory, that's where they might be too. Or they could be in hell. But never did I ever talk, they never did tell me that they could actually be in heaven. They always went on this part that, you know, they could be in the place between heaven and hell, and if we could just pray a little bit more, light more candles and pray and offer money to the priest and just do a high mass, and it will cut down his time there. How many people relate to what I'm saying over here? If you had that background, I've had that background for years, and it used to frighten me because I didn't understand all that. Yeah. And I would go home and walk down after my, that's the services, I walked from my church there and walk home. It took me about 15 minutes to walk home. I would think about this in my 8-year-old mind. And when people died as a young kid, I would be so afraid that I don't know where they went. And I had more fear of hell than anything else. Right. When I should have had the victory side, understand that when someone dies, they're in heaven now. They're not suffering right now. Hallelujah. I heard, this is going to be a very good series. Amen. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 to 23. For by one man death came. It's talking about Adam. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's Jesus. For all in Adam all die. So even in Christ shall all me be alive. But every man in his own order, and Christ is the first fruit. Now, in verse 25, 26, for he must reign till he put all his enemies under his feet, that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That one day, like there's death now in this world, one day there'll never be anything dying. Nothing will die. All the plants and everything else, is going to die. Nothing will rust. Nothing will decay. You won't have rotten teeth. You don't have to brush your teeth anymore. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You don't have to comb your hair, loose hair. You don't have to buy anti-dandruff shampoo, You won't have to clean any dust anywhere. Everything will be just wonderful. Awesome. Eh? Some people say, I would want that right now. Eh? Some people live like there's no dust. But there's dust everywhere. Death is the last enemy. The Bible talks about in Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no dominion over him. He conquered death for us, for you and me. And we don't have to be afraid of death anymore as a believer. Because the last enemy, he says, it's hard for us to understand this when we live in this world. One day, the Bible says in Revelation 21:4, that there'll be no more death one day. But for now, until Jesus renews this whole world, there'll be death. So, some people don't believe in this. They say this is just a theory. That book here, your Bible you're reading, it just all, I don't know what they call it. They call it all kinds of names. There's some sarcasm in the next statement here in verse 35 and 36. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? That's verse 35. And with that body do they come? Thou fool, thou which sowest is not quickened except it die. In other words, we understand that, we have to die in order for us to live in this world anyway right now. Our bodies will die. But how many people understand that one day your body's going to come back together again? Even if it blew up in a explosion, God will take that all back and put it. That's supernatural, miraculous God we have. Life is like a seed. John 12:24, Jesus talks about this. He says, life is like a seed, speaking about his own death and the multiplication of his death to everybody else. He says this, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit." Let's talk about sowing and reaping, but he also he sowed his own life, he died, so that all of us can live. He said, if I, you know, he talked about that as a corn of wheat. If it dies, if it doesn't die, it's alone, but if it dies, it's going to bring more fruit. And you and I are the fruit, are the result of that. Jesus was the first one raised from the dead. He's the first one born again. How many understand this? When Jesus was on the cross, when he was on that cross, he had to become sin for us. And at that moment, he died spiritually. He became like you and me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that Jesus became sin for us. He died for us. Hallelujah. You know, when the scripture talks about that God turned his back on Jesus when he was on the cross because he became sin. Mm-hmm. And he went down. But 3 days later, the Spirit of God quickened him. And that very moment when the Spirit of God quickened Jesus, he was seeing us into the future being quickened by God. That when we receive Jesus, our spirits are quickened.
Amen. That's right.
You're alive right now. You're more alive than ever. You know, somebody said, you know, we lost some. You didn't really lose somebody. They're just in another world. They're in heaven. They're in another place. You never lose somebody. You got to look at it from a different perspective, a different angle than what everybody's been telling you. You're losing somebody. Or God took them. God doesn't say, "Oh, we'll take them now. That's enough there." But he has to take them because they enacted a law that caused them to have a certain way, of dying or life expansion or shortening their life somehow. So. This is a very good subject, isn't it? It's a deep subject. So our bodies won't be subject to our corruption one day. It's all in the scriptures, verse 48 to 50. Our bodies won't be subject to corruption. One day we won't have to have, to worry about any fat, any wrinkles. You know, our bodies need to be, you know, whatever. We're doing maintaining our bodies. One day we won't have to do that. Isn't that wonderful? You'll be doing other things like serving God. What do you think you're going to be doing up in heaven? Sitting around eating grapes? Playing a harp, you know? I remember, you know, we used to see that as people just imagine that what they're doing in heaven, they're just sitting there playing a harp and eating grapes. You're going to be working. And you're going to be in school for eternity with... The word of God is eternal. This word is eternal. Amen. And you'll still be what you didn't learn here, you're going to learn up there.
Hallelujah.
Huh? They say that, you know, you have to eat the tree of life to strengthen yourself. Eating lots of fruit. 51, 52, "Behold, I'll show you a mystery." He says, "We all shall not sleep, but we shall... all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and all the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be all changed." One day we're going to be all changed in a twinkling of an eye. You know, a blink is slower than a twink. You know what I'm saying? You ever twink your eye? It's just as fast, right? But a blinking takes a little bit longer. But that's how fast you're going to change in a twinkling of an eye. But if you're bigger, it takes longer. No, it's the same thing. Huh? It takes what? The Bible says in here, in 1 Corinthians 15:53, the last section says, "Death is swallowed up." Death is swallowed up. Then in verse 15, 55, 57, he says, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He's talking about death and dying in the scripture, folks. Now, we use that scripture for other things because he does give us the victory. We have victory over death. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid. Now, just don't go become a, you know, one of these guys that jumps off buildings and stuff. You know, because I'm not afraid of death anymore. You might die. And we're going to have to be at your funeral tomorrow. People fear death because they don't understand it. They don't understand about death. So people need to be taught the scriptures, need to be taught, given the word of God. Many fear death because they don't understand it. People speak of death as a termination or the end of their existence. They're tormented regularly, day and night. They think about their own impending death and think about the death of their loved ones. No, death is only a transition. It's not the end. It's a departure to another place for now. When you live a long time on this world, as Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, there's a reward for people who live right and honor their parents and honor their leadership. The Bible says they live a long time. Psalm 91:16 says, you know, we talked about Psalm 91:16, you know, we talked about it there, and being sustained in this life. Psalm 91:16 is talking about how God sustained us, and the way he sustained us is the way is our confession. Psalm 91:3 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my God, my rock, my fortress. In him I will I trust. That's talking about having faith in God, and the number of those other scriptures talks about what he's going to do because you confess his word. Amen. Then verse 16 says in there, he says in there, with that long life he'll give you, shows you salvation. That's talking about because of your faith and confession, you're believing in the word of God, that God will sustain you throughout your lifetime. Psalm 91, verse 16. So if you live long on earth, you're going to go to a lot of funerals. And how you grieve is so important. God doesn't want you to grieve forever. You know, in my religion back then, all the widows would have to wear black for a long, long time, at least 1 year. We were black, and somehow they stopped doing that somewhere. So in our church, you know, if you saw a widow with black on, that's a black widow. That a black widow is a different term, but they wear black clothes, right? It's like Joan's wearing black this morning. some other people wearing black. But you know, it looks good. Black looks good, like you're dressed up pretty good, eh? I like that. But anyway, so it's a transition. So when we, you know, we shouldn't be just overwhelmed forever. Like God has, you have faith that God will help you through this tough time. When you're having a tough time, believe God that he's, you know, if he's done, if someone dies, he's going to take care of you. I remember my brother died, you know, my brother John Fisher died. His own son killed him in a heated debate, and I guess there was resentment all their lives, and they're drinking together and taking drugs, and my nephew killed his dad, which is my brother, and they've been drinking for a long time, and one day he died. I was sitting at home one night, and the police called me to, you know, come see your, you know, so on, and they found your brother, so on, and I was, and for that time, you know, I was so afraid. It bothered me. I mean, I was a minister back till then. It bothered me because I didn't know what happened to him. He died when he was drunk. And all my life I taught, you know, they were taught to me that, you know, when you if you die when you're drinking, you go to hell. That's what I was taught when I was a kid. My own sister, my brother was, I think, 42 years old when he passed on. And my sister, 45 years old, she was on a drinking spree, and she would take drugs and drink at the same time, and she died 45 years old. The weekend before she died, she said to me, I want to die. I don't want to live anymore. And so she died by Tuesday. She's dead. She's in a coma, brain dead. And it bothered me. I told, this is my dilemma. I said, God, you know, what happened to them? I want to know what I understand with the light I had. You know, you have to die in Christ. It bothered me. It just shook me just to the core. I don't know where they are. Did they go to heaven? And it bothered me. It just so bothered me. It just night and day it bothered me. And I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to look at it. You know, and so it hurt me. It grieved me. It bothered me. I knew my mother, when she died, she went to heaven because I knew for sure that she's in Christ. I mean, she couldn't fight off this cancer and she died. She went out into eternity. Same with my dad. He believed in Jesus and he died in old age and, you know, complication. He went on. But my sister, my young sister, my young brother, they passed away while they're using. And I would look at different scriptures. But I begin to comfort myself in the scriptures, find out scripture, so that I don't have to grieve like this any longer. And some of you are still grieving of someone that you love right now. And that's exactly why I'm teaching this way, so that you can find some relief. You know, God is merciful, more merciful than you and I can judge. When we judge other people, we judge other people. You know, when someone dies, we judge other people. Say, oh, yeah, that guy must have been gone to hell. Oh, he didn't live right. Well, you don't know that. The thief on the cross, he's dying. He talked to Jesus in his last breath. He went up to, he said, you'll be with me in paradise today. You got to have understanding of the, Brother Hagin, he died, physically died, and he's going down to hell. He says, God, I'm a church member. He's going to hell. He saw the demons, they're trying to pull him into hell. And he's just coming to the gates of hell. And so he heard a voice speaking and pull him away from that. And it's like a suction cup, pull him back up to the earth. That happened to him three times. God, I'm a church member. He's going down, down, down. God, I've been baptized in water. He's still going down. And then finally, at some point there, he cried out to Jesus. Before he got to the gates. And as he cried out to Jesus, he came back to his body. Hallelujah. How many people don't understand, you know, this man, you know, I mean, of course, you know, he could have got saved back then, you know. But he said, when I'm yelling, I'm going down, down, down to the pit. And he said, as I come out of the pit, I could hear my own voice in my body asking Jesus to save him. I come right up into my body and ask Jesus. But I'm grieving about my own family. And I'm a minister. I'm supposed to find answers for these things. I said, Lord, if you know, you gotta show me what to do. You gotta show me how to sometimes you grieve about things, it's none of your business about some things. You gotta leave things alone or it'll drive you crazy. In Deuteronomy 21:21, I remember listening to Brother Hick one time. He's worried about his, why did so-and-so die? Why did my grandma die? And why did, he's just asking this question over and over. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, it's none of your business. It's between me and that person. And then Jesus said to Brother Hick there, he said, do you remember what my scripture says in Deuteronomy 29:29? The things that between me and them, it's between me and them and not you. And you leave that alone. Don't let it come to you again. You let that alone and believe and trust in my wisdom and trust in my mercy. And just allow God to be God and take care of yourself. Trust Him. I remember going through this time where I said, God, you know, you need to heal me from this situation. And I believe I got healed from it. I didn't have that anymore after that. When the Lord began to talk to me about it. That we trust in His mercy. Trust in His grace. And I believe we need to see the scriptures in light of what God says about this. When someone dies, you know, we shouldn't be fearful of death ourselves, because like the scripture says over here in Hebrews 2:14-15, that like Jesus, speaking about Jesus and us, for much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood. That's talking about you and I. He also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he became like a human being just like you and I are. And that through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that's the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death all their lifetimes were subject to bondage. In other words, when we're fearing death, we're in bondage to this whole feeling all our lives. And the fear of death, having a fear of death all the time. The devil always tells people, he's probably telling you lately, he's like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to kill you. Constantly. People have this. I remember when I first had my first really bad situation where the doctors didn't know what was wrong with me. I was going to MRI. I was only in my early 30s. I was going to the doctor sending me. I had constant pain in one side of my body, and with one hour of just talking to people, I would just get so exhausted and have to be in bed all day long. I was like that for about 5 years, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. Part of it was my own self. Part of it was the devil taking control over what I was afraid of. Until I took care of fear, then that thing began to dissipate. The devil would talk to me and said to me, I'm going to kill you. Your children will not have a dad. You're in your early 30s. You're going to die. And your wife is going to not have a husband. And what is the church going to say? What is people going to say in this city and everywhere else? That guy believes in God. He's a faith pastor. What about that? Kept talking to me, harping to me every single day, all day long, all night long, every single day after day, month after month, year after year, started harassing me that way. And there's people in this room right now, are you being harassed every single day about death and dying? Constantly. And going over and over and over in your mind. You can't do certain things. You can't go somewhere. You can't eat this. You can't go over here. You can't walk over here. You can't do this. You're afraid of people, afraid to go over here and afraid to go there. Because you might die. And you know, it talks about there, we can be free from this whole subject of dying and death. Let God take care of you. Don't be afraid of it anymore. Now, we don't want to die. We want to live. We can live long. We need to trust in God. Trust Him. You know, one day, and 2 Samuel 12:23 gives us some light that someday you're going to see, if you die, you'll see your relatives. When David's son died, you know, he had a daughter with son with Bathsheba, a child, and in the wrong way. You understand the story about just Bathsheba? Or should I talk about it? Okay, so well, just skip through all this stuff. Here's what he said when the son died or the child died. He said, I will go to him because he can't return to me. One day you'll be reunited with those people you love. That's our hope in God. That when they die, we'll see them again. That gives us a hope that we have. I know I'll see my mom again. It says that there's 7 billion people on this planet right now. 7 billion. If you live a long, full life, you'll see many days. But at the same time, because people keep dying, you're going to have to learn how to handle your grief. What to do with your grief. People are going to die. And you shouldn't be surprised that people will die. Every second, someone dies. Every hour, it says that over 6,500 people die worldwide. 6,500 people, I guess, in one day die. Every hour. In one day, every minute, 6,500 people die. Every minute. 156,000 people die in one day. It's amazing that 56 million people will die every year. That's a lot of people. If you live in this world, that's why Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid. Say, I won't be afraid. See, you have to have that faith in you that even though you walk through this life, there's death everywhere. Psalm 91 says there's some people dying in your right hand, some on your left hand, but you'll not be afraid. Why? Because God is with me. Psalm 90 says, even from everlasting, you are God. God is eternal. For verse 4, Psalm 90 verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in your sight is but just like yesterday when it's past. It's like a night, one night, not a whole day, just a night. God says, that's like a 1,000 years for God. It's nothing for God. But you and I have that same light. We have the same life of God in us. We will live with God forever. James chapter 4, verse 14 says that your life is like a vapor of smoke. It appears for a while and vanishes away. That's how short our life is. And yet people live like they're going to live this world like they're going to live forever. You're not going to live forever in this world. So we have to change our life and make a difference in other people's lives and help them. If you're an older person, the Bible says you should be helping the younger people in the church. That's what the Bible says. If you're an older person, you should help other people that are younger than you. You read the scripture. And we should be pillars. You know, it's wonderful to have older people in the church, and people come in, you see, oh, there's so-and-so, they're still around here, praise God. I've been gone for 6 years, they're still praising God. Sitting in the same spot. Amen. They're looking much better too. So just, what is your life? It's just a mist. James 4:14 says, just a mist. The common English Bible says, just a mist. It's gone. You know, I was ironing my shirt this morning. I saw like a mist, and it went away. Where did it go? It's gone. God says, that's what your life is like. You're not going to live here forever. Teach us to number our days. You know, but basically, we're going to close with a couple of scriptures here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20-21. It says in here, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or death. But for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, when you die, you're gaining. You're not losing. You know, that's why when someone, I remember Brother Hagin giving a story about one of his elders who died in the church. And this elder was one of the best elders. He went people to Jesus in the community. He was the best financial giver to the church, local church. He'd help Pastor Hagin everywhere. And he died working in the oil fields. And he died, fell off somewhere, and he died. He said they couldn't move him, and they took him to the hospital. They thought he would die in the process. And he said his body, this man said his spirit went up to heaven, and he died. And he said up in heaven, he saw Jesus, and he was going to, you know, fall down on Jesus' feet and worship him. Jesus said, no, listen, you got to go back. And he said that Brother Hagin is not letting you come right now. You know, we have something to do with people in our, if we believe God. You know, the Bible says how we live as moms and dads affects our children. How I live, my integrity affects my kids. You know, your life matters to your children, how you live every day. The Bible is very clear on it. When we pray, God will listen to you. So it talks about in there that when this Pastor Hagin prayed, this man came back to his body. You know what he said? He said, don't ever feel sorry for someone who's died, because it's much more better on the other side. He said, I didn't want to come back. So that's why this man said, by the Spirit of God, to die is gain. That doesn't seem right. To die is gain. You mean I'm going to gain something if I die? Yes, that's what the Bible says. You're not going to lose someone. Philippians over here, but if I live in the flesh, verse 23, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I would not. In other words, he had a choice. I am betwixt in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Everybody say far better. Say to die is gain. Say it's far better. That's what we need to understand. Jesus said in John 14:27, "My peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world give I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's when they were understanding Jesus was talking about he's going away from them. From this time. So God is telling you, don't be afraid anymore. You will see your loved one. Have faith in it. Believe in it. Trust in God. Trust in His mercy. Don't judge people the way you looked at them. You don't know people. Trust in God. God is merciful, far more merciful than you and I will ever think. Let's go ahead and close the service this morning. Hallelujah. We want to pray together. And believe God together. Thank you, Jesus. Did anybody get some help, encouragement or something? We're going to pray together. Believe God together. Pray for one another. The Bible says that you'll be healed. Lord, I want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe we should get the music team come up if you can. I would like that every service if you can come up. Close out with the music. I don't mind the keyboard. I'd like to have a more of a team spirit here. Anybody would like to sing out there? Come on, Monday nights. We want to train more singers. We need more keyboard players, more guitar players. We need that, right? You know, these guys can't take a day off because there's nobody here to help them out. But your little poor little hands has to do the playing. If I could play that, I'd play it myself. Can you teach me? I'll play that next week. I want to learn. I'll do it. I love music. We're going to rock on for Jesus in this place. Amen. I want God to heal your hearts right now. He wants you to heal your heart. All over this place. Let's ask God, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal our hearts from the loss. You said you'd come to heal the brokenhearted, Lord. And Lord, I'm going to pray for everyone here who's lost, as we say, we lost someone. Someone has died, or someone is dying. And I pray in the name of Jesus that people have victory over fear of dying. They'll never have any more fear of dying. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here, the sound of my voice, online, and those that are watching on live stream, and those that are standing here with me. I pray for every one of those people in Jesus' name right now. I confer the blessing of God upon you to be free from the bondage of fear of dying, fear of loss, to be free from grief. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd be free from grief right now in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for healing hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Heal every broken heart. Heal those that are fearful of death in the name of Jesus. If you want me to lay hands on you, I'm going to pray for you right now because the anointing is on me. If you are grieving of losing someone, if you've gotten over it, that's fine. But if you have grief of someone who died maybe years ago or even recently, I want you to come up right now. I'm going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Just got out of your chair and come up here. I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus if that's you. Just come on up. The anointing of God is here right now to give you relief. Everywhere out of this place, in this auditorium, come right now. I'll stand here. I'm going to pray with you. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. Those that are grieving, those are having pain, losing loved ones. We're going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. I want you all to stretch forth your hand in the name of Jesus. We're going to stretch forth your hand and we're going to trust God together that God will put his hand upon each one of these loved ones at healing. Father, I want to thank you right now for the anointing that breaks the yoke. We're all praying for the yoke of the bondage will be broken in the name of Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, and minister through me right now by the power of God as I lay hands upon each one of these lives, that this power that causes depression and suppression and oppression will leave them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. That's it. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Be free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May your heart be healed from the brokenness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the anointing of God. Peace of God rule in your heart. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God healing and resting upon this woman in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Be free in the name of Jesus. The power of God rest upon you and your soul. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Receive. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. The power of God. Be free in your mind in the name of Jesus from tormenting thoughts. Free from strongholds of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Be free and fear no more in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the power of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ministering to the needs of this young woman. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Fear no more in Jesus' name. Healing broken hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody say, I receive. I fear no more. I will grieve no more. I'm going to rejoice. Amen. You got a song to take us out? All right, let's go.